There's a well-known quote from Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet when Juliet is so upset that she and Romeo can't get together because of his family name and the family. And then she calls out, "What's in a name? That which we call a rose by any other name would smell as sweet." Implication in that moment is that a name is only a label that distinguishes between one thing and the other. It's not really important. It's not really a big deal. It doesn't have any meaning. However, we know that a name is really, really important. That's what caused the problems for them in any case. A name is what we're called by. A name is what we're known by. A name is what we need to sign a document. A name is what we need to do official things. Now, in the culture of biblical times, it was even more important. They took a long time to think about a name because the name had to say something about the essence of a person's character, who they were. Let me give you an example. A man called Barnabas. His name says exactly who he was. Bar in Aramaic is son of, and Nabas was the name of his father. Barnabas means the son of Abbas. Like Barabbas was the son of Abbas. It says who you were. It also was an indication of the expectations that they would have of what you would become. Let me give you the best example of that. Joshua or Yeshua or Jesus, which comes down to the Lord is salvation or bring salvation, the expectation that they had. It would sometimes also say where you came from. Judas Iscariot. We think it's his last name. It's not. The word Ish in Hebrew means man, and Keriot was a place. Judas, the man from Keriot. And Mary Magdalene, as we just call her. Again, we assume that Magdalene is her last name. No. It wasn't her last name. It was Mary of a place called Magdala. And so she became Mary Magdalene. Now, against this backdrop, I'm going to take you to our Bible passage today that takes us to this third question that has everything to do with a name. And it comes from Genesis chapter 32. And I'm going to read verses 22 to 30 for you. And I'm going to read from the Message. "But during the night he," that's Jacob, "got up and took his two wives, his two maidservants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He got them safely across the brook along with all his possessions. But Jacob stayed behind by himself, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he could not get the best of Jacob as they wrestled, he deliberately threw Jacob's hip out of joint. The man said, 'Let me go. It's daybreak.' Jacob said, 'I'm not letting you go until you bless me.' The man said, 'What's your name?' And he answered, 'Jacob.' The man said, 'But no longer. Your name is no longer Jacob. From now on, it's Israel, God wrestler, because you've wrestled with God and you've come through.' And Jacob asked, 'And what's your name?' The man said, 'Why do you want to know my name?' And there, right then and there, he blessed him. And Jacob named the place Peniel, God's face, because he said, 'I saw God face to face and lived to tell the story.'" So here we find Jacob on his way back to meet his brother. The last time Jacob and Esau spoke to each other was when Jacob stole his brother's first right and stole his blessing, and Esau vowed to kill Jacob if he saw him again. Now it's 20 years later. And it's no wonder that Jacob's a little anxious as we find him here at the Jabbok River, because he just got a message from his servant saying, "Your brother Esau was on his way to meet you, but by the way, buddy, he's bringing a whole army." So it's not strange that Jacob sends his wives and children and his people away so maybe he could save them. And he stays behind here at the Jabbok. In a sense, I think the Jabbok would become Jacob's Rubicon. And I say that not because here at the Jabbok he was going to come face to face with Esau. I think it's his Rubicon, because here at the Jabbok, Jacob has to come face to face with God, but also face to face with himself when Jacob has to answer this question, the question today. What is your name? This is a very important question. The way that Jacob is going to handle this, the way that Jacob is going to answer this, will determine whether he will be able to become the man that God intended him to be from the beginning. But to be able to do that, the first thing that Jacob would have to do, and that's the first thing that each one of us has to do, is Jacob has to face up to himself of who he is in all honesty. Because just think about his life a little bit. The name Jacob in the Hebrew means one who grabs the heel. That's a Hebrew idiom that actually means deceiver. And boy, did Jacob actually live up to his name. He deceived his brother, he deceived his father, he deceived his father-in-law. Go read his story. It's lying and deceiving and cheating from beginning to end. But this moment here at the Jabbok will become a pivotal moment, a turning point in his life when God asks the question, what is your name? And in this moment, Jacob has to say his name out loud. I am Jacob. And the moment Jacob says that, Jacob has to stare himself in the face and be honest and look himself in the eye. Who am I? And you're saying, why is that so important? Let me show you a little something. Why it was so important for him to say this name, Jacob. If you look at the first couple of chapters of his life, 27 to 32, you'll see that in almost 20 years, Jacob never actually uses his own name. I'll give you two examples. Chapter 27, verse 19. When he goes to his father to steal his brother's blessing, dressed in Esau's clothes, and he's got all the hair over him, around his neck and his arms, and his father feels, and then his father asks him this question. Who are you? What does he answer? I am Esau, your firstborn. When he meets Rachel, the woman of his dreams, and he speaks to her, who does he say he is? He says, I am a relative of your father, the son of Rebekah. He doesn't call himself Jacob. Maybe there's a reason. Maybe Jacob knew all along that this name said exactly who he was. And maybe Jacob has struggled with this his whole life long. And he just couldn't get to terms with who he was and accept himself, warts and all, with all of these things that were in him. But here, in this moment, he has nowhere to go when God says, tell me, what's your name? Because you're asking for a blessing? Tell me your name first. And when he says Jacob, there's no more lying, there's no more deceiving, there's nowhere to run. In the moment he says that name, he acknowledges who he was and who he had become. But hold with me, hold on with me for one second. In that moment when Jacob faces up to himself and he's honest about himself, where he says, I'm Jacob. Yes, I am the one who cheated my brother. I am the one who stole my brother's blessing. Yes, I am the one who lied and deceived to my blind old father. Yes, I am the one who cheated and deceived my father-in-law. That, my friends, is the moment in which Jacob's life is opened up so that God can start this restoration in Jacob's life and start making him that man that God actually intended Jacob to be. But here's the thing. God can only do this work. And this miracle of transformation can only take place when I am willing to face honestly those things in my life that need God's transformation. My anger, my fears, my what I see as inabilities or incapabilities. Maybe the lies, maybe a deceitful heart, maybe an addiction. If I am not prepared to place those before God and be honest and say, Lord, I need transformation in this because this is my name. Here's the thing. God does not gatecrash our lives to bring the miracle of transformation through His Holy Spirit. God asks us, what is your name? What is your real name? But there's another aspect that needs to come into play for this transformation miracle to happen. The moment I'm honest with God and I place myself before God and I ask, will you please do this transformation? You know what God does? God changes my ownership. God gives me a brand new identity. All the things of who I was and what I did and where I fell, God takes them away and God gives me a brand new future. We are not, my friends, measured against our past mistakes forever. We are not judged against our past mistakes forever. God gives me a brand new identity with a brand new future. Let me show you that in the story. So Jacob is wrestling with God, and God says, let go of me. And he says, I won't let go of you until you bless me. And that's the moment God says, tell me your name. And in that moment when Jacob says, I'm Jacob, and all of this just falls apart, and there it is, Lord, it's all out there. Then the blessing happens, because in that moment, he receives a new identity. No longer will you be called Jacob. You will now be called Israel. You're not the liar, cheater, deceiver anymore. I've given you a new identity. That past is gone. You are now Israel. The one who is filled with God's power. The one who is sold out to God's projects. The one who can face anything that comes to him in the power of God. You are Israel. There's the blessing that comes when we, my friends, are prepared to face who we are and bring to God. And God brings transformation. And God gives me a new name. And just look at Jacob. Go look at his story from 33 forward. He's a changed man. No more deceiving. He's humbled. He'll bow before his brother. He's a new man. What happened? Jacob faced Jacob. And God blessed and made him Israel. Now I know, my friends, we can't imitate Jacob's Jabbok moment. But we don't have to. Because God did that for us on Calvary. When God put Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus on that cross. And Jesus cried out on that cross. He cried out each of our names. And in that moment, God changed my and your identity. He gave us a new future, new hope, a new life, and above all, this brand new identity. Listen. Listen to what God says, who we are, what your name is. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. What marvelous love the Father has extended to us. Just look at it. We're called children of God. And that's who we really are. But that's also why the world doesn't recognize us or take us seriously, because it has no idea who He is or what He is up to. We are called children of God. That's who you are. That's who God says who you are. That's what you and I need to live. Bring the old me and put it before Him and allow Him to do that transformation. And then, my friends, take on this new identity that God has given you. I am who you say I am. I am a child of God. The challenge is this. To go live with this new identity. To leave the Jacob behind. And to live by my name. I am a child of God. Amen. Father God, thank you that you don't just leave us. Father God, thank you that you bring us to the Jabbok. And there at the Jabbok, when you wrestle with us and we get to that moment where we say, I can't do it anymore, I need a blessing. You bless because you remind us who we are in Jesus Christ our Lord. So today we bring all those things that need transformation. We give them to you and we ask you to transform them. We give them to you and we ask, Lord, that you will help us to live who we are. Because we're no longer slaves of fear and of sin. We're children of God, made brand new, called by your name. Thank you that we may live that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.